I'm always amazed when a chetzah of a mitzvah, when an object that we do for performance carries with it multiple purposes, carries with it a certain sophistication and a certain duality. And often what the Torah is calling us to, and the call Torah is beckoning us to, is a deeper understanding of that mitzvah and the experience and often the journey and the feelings that mitzvah is supposed to reflect. So for instance, a great example of that is the mitzvah of matzah. Matzah is called a lechem oni. And the reason being, different reasons given in Chazal and Rishonim, either because it's the lechem shel anius, a lechem of poverty, a lechem of desperation, or it's lechem she'onin alav dvar maharpe, the bread of geula that we own in, that we respond to, or we use to answer questions. So for the same chetz of matzah that reflects anius, poverty, also reflects geula. And of course, the question could be asked, why have the same object represent both polar opposite extremes of poverty and geula? And the reason would seem to be that the mitzvah, the chetzos shel mitzvah, is supposed to represent a journey, and it's supposed to transport us from place A to place B, and it's supposed to convey often the full emotions and the full gamut of emotions of what the day represents. So the very matzah that represents anius, it represents impoverishment, also represents geula as well, and it just richens and deepens the mitzvah experience. This is true by many things. I was thinking this year of how it is especially true by the mitzvah of shofar, how the mitzvah of shofar brings us to very different types of places and thoughts. But let me explain what I mean by that. I would ask the person, why do we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? There are a number of different answers that are given either by Chazal, in the Gemara, in the Midrashim, or by the Rishonim and Acharonim. And at least five different reasons come to mind as to why we blow the shofar. Reason number one is because of the idea of Malchus. The Gemara says we have three different sections of Tfilah. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios, so that we can be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Zichronos, so that our deeds and past actions can be brought in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how is that going to happen? Well, what's the means of that happening? Through Shofros. So the Ritva points out in that Gemara that when the Gemara says, what is the means of communicating that message? We're speaking also about the idea of Malchius, I mean, the way in which we establish Malchius in the world, the way that we coordinate a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world, is through Tekiyah Shofar. And Ritva points out that historically that's true as well. When they would coordinate a new king, Shaul and others, they would blow the shofar, and that would be the means of coordinating the Melech. And that idea of coordination can be seen from the fact that we have Tekiyah Shofar at Har Sinai, which was an opportunity of being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yemos HaMashiach and by Yericho. It's a sign of majesty. It's a sign of being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Mamluch a king of Basar V'dam. And therefore, the first representation, the first aspect of the Shofar is that of being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. The second piece is for Zichronos. That the way that we bring our zichronos, and that's the pshan of the Gemara, the pashas of the Gemara, the way that we bring our zichronos in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the means of the shofar. And specifically, Chazal tells us, Gemara tells us, that when we blow the shofar bizmaneinu, we are telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedat Yitzchak, and we are making a statement that if we had been there, we would have been willing to have been nekad, we would have been willing to have been bound up as well. It's a statement of us associating ourselves with the past and past actions, of identifying with Yitzchak, of a statement that the sacrifices of our forefathers, our sacrifices that we ourselves would have made and would still make now. So the second purpose of the shofar is that of Zichronos, of Malchios, and we have Zichronos. There's a medrash that appears in Vayikra Rabbah. The medrash says that Allah Hashem Betrua means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the sound of the shofar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol gets up from the Kisei Shel Din, and he sits down onto the Kisei Shel Rachamim. And that happens by hearing the shofar. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, the Ramban and others, as to which specific blast of the shofar creates that movement from Din to Rachamim. So the Ramban says it's actually the Tekiya, right, which we probably would have thought would have been the Trua, which is the cry of the shofar, but the Tekiya of the shofar is what transports, again, Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the God of Din to the God of Rachamim. There's a fourth aspect. The Rambam very famously comments in Hilchos Teshuva, Kimmel Halach Badalid, that even though Tekiya Shofar is a Gezeirat HaKatzuv, so we know there's a remez, we know there's a reason why we do it, and that reason is to wake up the people who are sleeping from their slumber. Wake up, you sleepy ones, from your slumber. And the shofar there is it's like a clarion call. It's a wake-up call to go ahead and do shuva. And she was speaking to someone in shul this morning. Today is the second day of Aseres Meshuva on Sunday, and posed the question that based on that sheet of the Rambam, wouldn't it make sense if we blew the shofar throughout the Aseres Meshuva? I mean, if it's related, does the Rambam to the shuva process, so why stop that the day before, 2 days before Rosh Hashanah? But either way, that's a fourth reason, the idea of bringing a person to shuva. And lastly, we know the Torah brings down in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph 581 the Pirkei Deblezer of, again, that same pasuk, Allah Hashem Betrua, relating the shofar back to the historical event by Har Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Har Sinai in Rosh Chodesh Elul, the shofar was blown. Allah Hashem Betrua, Kadosh Baruch Hu was appeased through the blowing of that shofar, and then the Luchos Shniyos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So part of the reason blowing the shofar is to connect back to the history of the shofar being used as a means of appeasement, as a means of mercy, as a means of convincing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the blowing of the shofar, certainly during Elul, but even Rosh Hashanah, is a way of connecting back to those historical moments. So in a way, the shofar is a very complex object. It represents Malchios. It represents Zichronos. It represents us beseeching a Kodesh Baruch Hu to move from the seat of justice to the seat of mercy. It's a way of psychologically waking us up from our slumber to Shuva. It's a way of connecting back to the history of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar and other places as well. All that is true. The halakhic significance of it, the philosophical significance of it, the machshava of shofar, the history of the shofar, all that is true, and all that goes into our mindset as we both blow and listen to the sound of the shofar. With that being said, the Brisker Rav and Rav Soloveitchik and others, they said that shofar is not necessarily those things per se, but it's also, or maybe perhaps most significantly, a tefillah. It's also a prayer. The person perhaps composed that if shofar in essence is a tefillah, so what's the necessity of it? We have an entire day filled with tefillos, bakashos, achanunim, ta'aka, b'chia, all the various forms of tefillah that we establish throughout the day, both in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So what then is the key of shofar adding? What unique tefillah is the Kiyah Shofar adding? And by the way, just the reason why Meforshim are led to believe that a shofar is based on the Gemara that says that just like during tefillah, a person has to be bent, the shofar should also be bent, and the necessity for kavanah with the shofar, and the very fact that shofar is used as Tchias d'Me'uma during Shmoneh Esrei, and it's part of Shmoneh Esrei, and in many places, even during the Tfilas Yochid, the shofar is blown. Again, it's a reflection of Tfilah. But why? Why do we need to have a separate sort of language of Tfilah represented by the shofar? So some of the Gedolei Chassidus, the Shem Yishmuel in the year Tuf Reish Ayin Vav, about a century ago, and the Kedushas Levi and others. So they say that to some degree, Dibor itself becomes convoluted, Dibor speech becomes complicated, because the Dibor needs to be said in a certain way, it needs to be understood in a certain type of way. Words can be expressed in ways that are confusing. The language of the Shem Yishmuel is that words take on a certain klipa, they take on a certain shell, they take on a certain sort of like form with outer layers to that Dibor. We know that from our own conversations, interactions with people, of just sometimes the difficulty in communicating, and that that which is expressed is not always heard or felt. But the sound of the shofar is something that is absolutely the genuine sound of a person's. It's really the genuine emotion that comes, and this is where the language of the Shem Yishmuel, from the deepest recesses of a person's neshama, the simple place of a person's neshama. And that's why, according to many Meforshim, that's why you need a person who is a gadol b'mitzvot and a gadol b'torah, and a person who knows the right kavanos, because that person has to know what it means to bring that sound from that place, bring that kol from that inner place of our own souls, not just having a technical mastery over how to blow and the nice shofar. It's the real sense of being sort of spiritually present and bringing that sound to fruition. And in many ways, therefore, the sound of the shofar is the most simple of acts. It's just a simple reflection of a person's own inner place that sometimes is bold and confident and other times is broken and uncertain. And that becomes sort of the simple expression of man. And so therefore, in a way, the shofar is the most complex of objects. Malchios, Zichronos, Din Terachamim, the history of the shofar, waking up the tshuva. But at its heart, it's a simple ma'isa mitzvah, a simple expression of something very, very deep. In a way, the shofar, and maybe this is part of the reason that the shofar is really the first mitzvah of the year, represents and reflects our entire religious personality. Now, so often we become enmeshed in philosophy and in machshava and in history and in questions and in complexities, in halachic minutia, in all of the areas of yadus that are so significant but can also strip a person from just the inner simplicity of what it means to be omei lifnei Hashem and what it means just to live life with tmimus, with simplicity, standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We lose a piece of that. And while we do create all of those structures in our lives, of philosophy and of makshava and in the halacha, we're complex, sophisticated, nuanced people. At the same time, that can't come at the expense of just that inner peace, the inner simplicity, the inner feeling of David HaMelech, of Anit Tfilasi, that in my essence, I'm a person who's connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in often a very, very simple type of way. And maybe, again, the sound of the shofar this year and the last sound of the shofar of Yom Kippur reflect the majesty of all of the themes of Rosh Hashanah, can represent the culmination of this complex process of tshuva, but also, again, the simple sound of a Jew standing wide open in front of their Maker. We should all have a Ktiv Chasima Tova. We should all have a good year of depth, but of simplicity, and a year of true connection with Bona Sha'olam, simcha and nachas and good health and Yeshua for us, our families, and Paul Kleiso. Thank you.